Good morning, Emmanuel. How many love Jesus today? You love him? Big shout out to all of our locations, Elk River, Maple Grove, Lakeville, Spring Lake Park, those joining online. Hey, I want to celebrate something all together as a church. If you could do something with me, stand up wherever you're at. In each of our locations, just stand up right now. Get the blood flowing again. That means you won't fall asleep on me as easily in just a few moments. But I want to celebrate something. Last week was Resurrection Sunday. On Easter Sunday, we had over 160 people give their lives to Jesus last week. Come on, somebody. That's it. I love that. And in our all of us contributed to the Madagascar Children's Meals, and we gave over $55,000 to feed kids in Madagascar. To God be the glory, amen. I mean, to God be the glory. Father, we thank you for every good and perfect gift comes from you. And we're thankful that we get to be a part of what you're doing, not just here in Minnesota, but around the world. And we thank you, Lord, that you're smiling on hearts and minds, and you're putting lives back together again. And Lord, we can thank you that you're not done. You're not finished. There's more still ahead of us. And so as we turn the corner, I pray, God, open our hearts, our vision, our capacity to receive what you see and what you want for our lives. And we pray you do it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Go ahead and grab a seat. We're starting a brand new series this week called So You Believe, Now What? So now what? What do you do next with that? And you know, going in looking at your journey, your spiritual journey, it's asking the question, what's next? What's next in your journey of faith? Whether you just are curious and you're beginning the journey, or you've been walking with the Lord for a long time, what next? And to think about where you're going. Are there moments that you've had thoughts where God has led you already, but you're thinking maybe I don't know what's next, but there are a lifetime of untapped possibilities in Jesus, enough for new treasures and experiences and possibilities to come into your life, because belief is powerful. I'm not diminishing, so you believe. You believe powerful things can happen. That's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. In fact, when you believe, belief fuels further exploration and pursuit. Not just with Jesus, but with everything. I mean, I remember when I believed that Jody might like me too. And how that fueled my journey and how I pursued her, because there was just, you're telling me there's a chance. There's something possible here. And belief can drive you in a particular way. It can take you on an educational journey, your career, and pursuing, believing it will pay off, believing something good could happen down the road. And whatever we believe will fuel what we do. Whatever we believe is going to fuel what we do. With Jesus, belief fuels us to put our faith in the one who took our sin and then rose from the dead. And there's a result to our belief in stepping into him. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. Something new has started because we believe. There was a new day, a new beginning, a new person, a new creation. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're looking at somebody brand new. There's something new. Yes. But the great danger in life is to stop at belief. Like believing in Santa Claus as a child. Spoiler alert. A lot of kids believe in Santa Claus, but there's a point in time which they go, maybe he's not real. And then they get over it. And here's the challenge with belief. With belief in Jesus, belief in faith, we can relegate it to something earlier in our story. That was just for me when I was a kid. I grew out of it. I don't believe it anymore. And I want you to know that you don't have to stop and you don't have to leave your faith in your youth, but that you can carry your relationship with Jesus over into all of your future. Can I get an amen to that? So the question is this: where do we go from here? Does it end with new birth, or is there more to it? And the next step is the title of today's message, Follow the Leader. Follow the Leader. I want you to look at the story of a few of Jesus' disciples and when he called them in Matthew chapter 4. By the way, those of you who don't know it, we have an Emmanuel MN app on your app store for your phone that if you pull it up, you can get our message notes every single week if you haven't done that before and follow along. I got the scriptures right in there and everything, so it's worthwhile. Otherwise, you can look up at the screen. How many of you have your paper Bibles? I'm just curious. Yeah, there you go. Wave them in the air like you just don't care. How many have electronic? Let me see. Okay, there's a few of those. Hey, by the way, get yourself a paper Bible because everything digital keeps getting changed on us. They can't change my paper Bible on me because I own it. And over my body, they're going to have to get it. I'm gonna hold on to it. Matthew chapter 4. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. And they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. And at once they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. And they were in a boat and their father Zebedee preparing their nets. And Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Now what we see here is with Jesus, that belief transitions into following. It's not just believing about or believing the facts. It's actually turning the corner and beginning to follow him. Jesus chooses and invites us into a future with him. And then he turns and walks away. And we have a choice of whether or not we're going to follow him. This is what a disciple does. They follow their leader. The definition of a disciple is this: a learner in training to become like their teacher. That's what they are. They're in a process where they're learning to become like their teacher. And it's not like following somebody on social media where you can blindly follow people, appreciate, like once in a while, retweet, share a story, like what they put up on Instagram or TikTok or whatever it may be. You can put those things out there, but that's passive following. Following Jesus, you can't ignore him like you can people on TikTok. Come on, somebody. A teacher is responsible to prepare you. They have a different responsibility than some famous influencer out there. A teacher is there to get you ready for your future. And that's why the Bible, the Word of God, is essential for your life. It's why we want to read this thing. It's to help us become like our teacher. Amen? In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work, to equip and prepare. This is what we are doing. We are preparing. You're not just reading the Bible, but the Bible's reading you sometimes, amen? But then also, it's preparing you for something in your future. We're not just stuck in the past. I hope that people that attend Emmanuel, part of the Emmanuel family, you've gone through Growth Track and you've gone through the process and you're maybe on Team Emmanuel. I hope you didn't stop growing 20 years ago or 6 months ago even. My hope is that you're preparing for what is next. Discipleship is a process that the teacher takes you through. Now, Dr. Anderson is a mentor of mine that I've talked about for many years. I first got to know him when he was my teacher in history of Western philosophy. And I had to take this class, and it was the hardest class I've ever taken in my life. In fact, everybody that was one of my classmates would have said the same thing, that it was hard, that we had study parties. We tried to figure out how to just get a C. I mean, it was that hard, right? But I remember when Dr. Anderson started the class, and he would do this with each of his courses, is he would take us through the syllabus. You guys know what a syllabus is? That's where they've got all, this is what's coming this semester. This is what I'm going to have you do. You're going to have to read these books. You're going to have to write these papers. But then he would say, pay attention to the due date and how the word due is spelled. It's not spelled D-O on that date. It's spelled D-U-E on that date. In other words, he was saying, hey, don't start writing your paper the day it's due. Work on it ahead of time. A teacher is trying to get you in a mode where you actually learn and you actually grow and it stays with you. When we move beyond belief alone, we will enter a discipleship process. We learn what our teacher wants us to learn, and he requires us to be intentional about it. Now, Jesus' first disciples did three things. This is what you'll see in the Gospels. You'll see that one, they spent time with Jesus. I want you to know that disciples spent time with Jesus. Relationships are built off of shared experiences, not just going to church, not just watching on demand whenever you want. Listen, you're not getting full church just by listening to me online. No, we need each other, okay? And Jesus' way of describing and showing discipleship as a process is he took these 12 disciples with him wherever he went. They were together. They hung out together. It wasn't just the service time. It was off stage, if you will. It was in real life. And so they spent time with him. And by the way, parents, we need to spend time with our kids, right? Not just tell them what to do, but spend time with them relationally. I didn't get a whole lot of amens out of that one, but hey, I'll just count on preaching the truth one way or the other here. The second thing that Jesus' first disciples did is that the more they were with Jesus, the more they became like him. He began to rub off on them. So prior to Jesus showing up, they had a whole world that they were in. Their language is a certain way. Their friends were a certain way, and they lived their life a certain way. But the more they were with Jesus, the more they became like him and less like who they used to be. That's what a disciple is, a learner who becomes like their teacher. And the third thing that you'll see that with the disciples is that even when Jesus was gone, they lived like him. It was real, and it lasted. It wasn't just in church on Sunday morning. It was real on Tuesday when your boss was yelling at you or somebody cuts you off in traffic or you open the envelope and see the increase in your taxes. Come on, somebody. He's just as real then, amen? Now, we can do what the first disciples did. We can spend time with Jesus. We can become like him, and we can live like him. I love what 1 Peter 2:21 says, one of Jesus' disciples, Peter. He says, for God called you to do good, even if it means suffering. Just as Christ suffered for you, he is your example, and you must what? Follow in his steps. I got some help here today. Pastor Phil, why don't you come up here and help me with this? What is Peter describing here? He's describing that Jesus would walk a certain way and we are to follow in his steps. So, Phil, what I want you to do is, like, if I step here, I want you to step. If I step here, I want you to step. There we go. Follow in his steps. Okay? Now, I might say, okay. Give it up for Pastor Phil. Thank you so much. He's way quicker than I am, so we know he was just being nice to me. Here's the point. Peter is saying follow in Jesus' steps. We have to learn to do that. You ask the question, so where are you going with your life? Wherever Jesus is going. Wherever Jesus is going. Where are you going this week? Wherever Jesus is going. Wherever he wants me to be. Listen, don't miss this. Because the next step beyond belief is learning to follow Jesus in your real life. Learning to figure out how to, and some of you are like, you don't understand, I have a hard life. I just read to you that we learn to suffer. Jesus figured out a way to work through suffering. Guess what? You can too. And it doesn't have to be an endless downward spiral. With Jesus, he's the resurrection and the life. He'll get you through tough times, but you do have a future and a hope. So when we ask that question, where are you going? The answer has got to be wherever Jesus is going. Now, there's a great book called In His Steps, written by Charles Sheldon. And it's such a best-selling book. It was written in 1896 that over 30 million copies have been sold. And it ranks as one of the best-selling books of all time. The full title is In His Steps, What Would Jesus Do? And in 1896, for his Sunday night services as a pastor, Sheldon thought that he would write a story which would continue one chapter a week about various persons who applied that question, what would Jesus do to their life? How would Jesus handle those things? So today, at the end of the service, everybody's going to be given a what would Jesus do bracelet. Okay? You're going to be given that. Oh, they zoomed in there. You're going to be given one of these bracelets. I have one on, and I'm wearing mine today. And here's the idea. And this is somewhat of a challenge for all of us, right? My idea is that you and I figure out how to take Jesus into our rest of our life. And so when you're in the kitchen and you want to go get some food out, and you reach out, and you know what you should be eating, and you know what you shouldn't be eating, and you see that, what would Jesus do? Come on, somebody. When somebody irritates you, and you're ready to point the finger, what would Jesus do? And thinking in terms of how do I pull this into my everyday life? By the way, some of you have bigger wrists like I do. You might need some help because they're real tight to get those things on there. So just like you have to use help sometimes with those communion cups to get the thing off the top, you might need a little help with the finger side of things on that. To follow Jesus, you're going to come to a crossroads almost every day. There's going to be moments where there's a crossroads. Have you ever been driving and there's a crossroads sign? And you're standing there and you're like, where do I go? What am I gonna do? I don't know which way to go. I love what Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus is speaking. He says to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways. Take up your cross daily and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. If you want to follow, he says, you must take up your cross daily. This is what I call a crossroad. This is the moment where you make a choice. Am I going to follow Jesus or not? Am I going to do this or not? How is this going to work out? And listen, how many know God's grace? There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And when we mess up, it's okay. But listen, we also can't compare ourselves to anybody else because you don't have the cross I have. Jesus said, take up your cross. Turn to the person next to you and say, he's talking about your cross. Yeah, you got your own, I'll take mine. But we all have a responsibility to take up our own cross. Every person who ever backslid said no to Jesus at the crossroad. The crossroad is the intersection of who I was and who I will be in Jesus. I remember Dr. Anderson, when I went to work for him, by this point, he's now the president of the university, and I'm one of his employees. And in my first couple years there, it was a big transition moving from the church world to the education world. Scoreboard was different. How people related was different. And I observed his life, and I observed all the pressures that he had. We were owned by 11 districts in the Assemblies of God, states and churches, and I observed the pressure that he would get from them and the emails and the expectations. And he had donors, and then he had the faculty and all the teachers and their opinions about what was right and what was wrong and what was important. And then he had the students. And it seemed to be like an unpleasable profession, right? And I remember sitting down and asking him the question. I'm like, so why do you do this? It seems so hard. He didn't even blink or pause. And he simply said, Nate, I have chosen to embrace the cross of the presidency of North Central. And what he was saying was, it's not my choice to whine about something that is the cross I'm supposed to pick up. This is the assignment where Jesus has placed me, so I'm going to do what he calls me to do and not whine about what I wish I had. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? And learning to pick up that cross, take that cross, means that we embrace where God has placed us. No matter how long you've been walking with Jesus, you will face choices every day of whether or not you'll pick up your cross. Our will is reshaped at the crossroad. I become more like Jesus today when I pick up my cross and follow him. Can I get an amen to that? So let me give you just three ways to do this. How do you follow Jesus as your leader now? The first one is this: start with where you are now. When I say that, I mean not only in church, I mean in the station and season of life that you're in. Don't push it off to some other place when you feel like you're going to be capable to follow Jesus. No, you're going to follow him from right where you are. Jesus met his disciples on the job, and he said, come follow me. He went to their job, and he said, come follow me. They hadn't learned one thing yet, but they were going to follow him and become who Jesus had called them to be. What if you let him into your wherever your here is? I want you to think about, like, you pull out your phone, and you're trying to figure out where you're at in a city, and it says you're here. He can navigate around where you need to go if you follow him. But just because you say, I want to be here, I want to be a man of God, I want to be a woman of God, just because you say you want to go somewhere, if you don't start with where you are, you'll never get there. So it starts right here, saying, you know what, Jesus? In this moment of my life, no matter what I've walked through, no matter what I've experienced, no matter how many successes and failures I have, I choose right now to follow you. It starts with where you are right now. Your relationship with Jesus will grow when you have shared experiences with him. So invite him in to wherever you are in your daily life. He says, pick up your cross and follow me. And the process of following Jesus becomes a combination of Jesus transforming your character, your vision, your passions, your purposes, the world around you, and catching Jesus. And then the kingdom of God propels you forward. But it starts with where you are right now. The second thing is this: to shift your trust from one thing to another. Shift your trust from one thing to another. Now, over time, I've had different people teach me how to work out, whether it's the place where we go from kickboxing and how we're supposed to put our legs down and shift our weight and to kick, or if it's weightlifting and choosing to get down and into a squat position and do squats, but making sure that I don't go too far forward on my toes, because if I do, I'll face plant. So I gotta shift my weight back into my heels as I go down so that I have good balance. That's the same thing we have to learn to do, because in our prior life, prior to Jesus, we trusted in other things. And we have to know that our instinct is to naturally go back to the old way of trusting those old patterns, the old operating systems that we used to have. I love what it says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on some of your understanding. No. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. You see, we all have operating systems that tell us how to interpret the moment that we're in, what we're seeing, what we should do next, what we're feeling. A lot of our operating systems come out of our history, or even when we're growing up and the house that we were in, the home and the rules that we had and whatever was the way to interpret it. Even dysfunction can feel normal if that's what you grow up in, okay? And so in the operating systems of the world around us right now, there really is no rule set. There's no common right and wrong and what you should do. In fact, many of the historic millenniums of tradition and values are being thrown out because there might be one minute thing that doesn't work right. And our culture is telling people what to do, and they're trying to tell us not to tell the next generation what to avoid. How many know you should tell your kid not to put their hand on a stove? Why? Because they'll get burned eventually. We don't just tell kids, do whatever you want, it's okay. It's okay, put your hand on the stove. No. You're gonna get burned. We don't wanna do that. Well, with operating systems, it's kinda like, some of you have had like PlayStation. How many remember PlayStation? The very first one was not PlayStation 1, because it was just PlayStation. And now it keeps moving on, and there's all these new systems that come out, and your phone has new OS, operating systems, and the things you can do on updated versions are very different. Here's what I'm saying. When it comes to how you live your life, how you're a husband, how you're a wife, how you're a parent, what you do when you're at work, what your ethics are and what they aren't, it all comes down to where you're shifting your weight. Am I gonna trust in, lean into my own understanding, or am I gonna open the Bible? Am I gonna get in relationship to Jesus? And as I follow him, am I gonna begin to follow him instead? And that's where the crossroads come in, the tug of war at times when we feel like, man, I should do this, but I feel like Jesus wants me to do something different. That's a crossroad. That's a moment where you got to go, I got to pick up my cross and follow Jesus. And if you do, he will give you life. Can I get an amen to that? It's a process of learning to not lean on your own understanding. The third thing is this. Step where Jesus stepped. Step where Jesus stepped. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, it says, then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. And after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. Now, I love, there's so many things in this text, I could make a whole message out of it. But what I love about Jesus and where he steps is he does whatever the obedient thing is. And he was to be baptized, so Jesus went in. Now, how many of you consider yourselves to be a follower of Jesus? If you're a follower of Jesus, then you're going to step where he stepped. Not just with baptism, although I'll talk about that in a moment, but in life, if you are following him, then he is your leader. If you are not following where he steps, then he's not your leader. It's that simple. Learning to say, I'm going to follow you. And of course, baptism became a part of the New Testament faith. In Mark chapter 16, it says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. John 3, 5, Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Matthew 28, 19, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Here's what I want you to think of. Next week, we have water baptism in all of our locations. I'm so excited about it. And every time we have water baptism, I'm pumped. Because water baptism, what it is it's followers of Jesus who have been made new. They've given their life to Christ. They're a new creation, but now they're choosing to identify publicly with Jesus. And so they step into the water that Jesus stepped into. They step into the water. Jesus went first. And as they step into that water, they turn and they identify with Jesus. When they go down into the water, it's symbolic of Jesus dying and going down into the earth. And then when they come up out of the water, it's symbolic of how they come alive in him. And the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Amen? And so it's a powerful thing. For those of you that have been water baptized, man, you should be so excited on this day. It's like going to a wedding for those of you that are married. And it's a reaffirmation. I got this ring. That's right. This, you know, in just a couple weeks, Jody will be, and I will be married 30 years. And when we go to weddings, inevitably when the couple's up front and they're doing their vows, if I'm not the one in front of them, giving them the vows, I'm looking at my ring. And I'm remembering the moment that I did that with Jody. This is what I think of with water baptism. That for believers, every time somebody else gets water baptized, it's reaffirming your own decision when you went through it. And then if you've yet to be water baptized, I just say, why not follow the leader? Why not step in? And you're like, I don't know, I got a lot of thoughts on that. Let me just say this, just make it simple. Some of you are like, well, I was baptized as a kid and in a church and I don't wanna make a statement to my parents that I didn't agree with them or that something was wrong with them. I get it. You don't have to think of it that way. As a matter of fact, your parents' desire when they baptized you was that you would live for Jesus down the road. That was all. So when you step in the waters under your own decision and you go, you're fulfilling your parents' original dream for your life. You don't need to feel like there's a conflict there. Absolutely not. All of us need to continue to follow Jesus, our leader. Can I get an amen to that? So it's public identification with Jesus' death and resurrection. And I encourage you to sign up if you've yet to do that. Be water baptized. Remember your own faith commitment, believers. This is what it's all about. I want you to stand with me today. If you're going to follow the leader, you start with where you are now. Be real. It doesn't matter if you're caught in the middle of an addiction right now. You can begin to follow Jesus right now. And he'll help lead you out of addiction. But it starts now, not in the future. Secondly, shift your trust. If you're confused and you're not sure what's right and wrong, just believe in the long journey of discipleship with Jesus. The more you get to know him, the more he's going to rub off on you. And the more things will be clear. Hang in there. Let the teacher grow you. And finally, step where Jesus stepped. Make a decision that this week. I would love for you to think about tomorrow, following Jesus. What would Jesus do? How would Jesus handle this? I'd love for you to stay in that journey. Can you do that with me? and allow God to do that in your story, I just believe that. Parents, your kids are gonna get these, so they might expect you to have it on. So, sorry, not sorry. This is what I wanna do. As we start this series off and we begin this week, I wanna do something. I want you to take wherever you're standing, I want you to take one foot and put it up in front of the other, like you're taking a step, okay? Runners do this when they get down and they're about to start a race. They just put one foot in and they're ready to follow the leader. And as we get ready, just go ahead and put your hands out like you're really open to whatever Jesus wants to do. Jesus, we come before you today. And we thank you, Lord, that you loved us so much that you came down to the earth and died on the cross for our sins, and then you rose from the dead. And we know you're alive today. And we thank you, Jesus, that it's not just about the beginning point. It's not just about the creation moment. It's about a lifetime of following you. And Lord, I pray that you give the courage for some of my friends who have kind of stopped following you, that, Lord, you give them the courage to start right where they're at and to kind of initiate again following you as our leader. And I pray, Lord, that you would ignite in us a desire to know your word, a desire to spend time with you, a desire to just be closer to Jesus. We just want Jesus. We just want to know what you have. Lord, all the world around us is fading away. It's so empty, and it's corrosive, and it's causing families to split up, and it's planting things in minds that, Lord, don't have eternal rewards. And I pray, oh God, that, Lord, you would help us to, Lord, push away the appetite for the world and increase in our hunger for you, our desire to know you. Just give us Jesus. Lord, we want you in our homes. We want you in our marriages. We want you in this church. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, and may we hear what you're saying to your church. May we know what you're doing in our lives. May we hear your words. Your sheep know your voice. And so I pray, oh God, that we would know your voice even as we seek you today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We pray that you are encouraged and blessed by today's message. Check out emmanuelcc.org for faith resources, how to get plugged into the community, or to join us live on Sundays at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. We are so excited to see what God is going to do. The best is yet to come.